It's my new obsession. Yeah, pink, it's not even a question.
Good morning, guys. You're on the Marilyn York Show. This is your host, Marilyn York, obviously. If you guys want to call me today, 823-1920 is the call-in number. I am also live on my Facebook page, the Marilyn York Show fanbook page, which many of you have located. And I am available on there if you want to live chat there for anonymity purposes. I also have my website, themarilynyorkshow.com, available at any time if you guys want more anonymity yet, or you're just not Facebook people, which I wasn't until recently. So feel free to email me then at any time you want. Today's guests were supposed to be Eve and Dirk, or whatever fake name we came up with them, which are the swinger couple who I met with this week and had very interesting content to tell me about the local swinging scene and their story. But I don't know why they're not here. So hopefully they'll show up at some point during the show. I'm going to do it without them to start. And if you guys have questions or comments about swingers, now it's more open. You can go call me at 823-1920 and go off. And they aren't here to offend, in case you cared. So I met these two. They sent me an email out of the blue, I think a month or so back, and invited me to do a show on swinging because they thought I was sexually liberal enough to perhaps not pass judgment and tell their story. And I'm happy to do it. I actually think it's a really interesting component of relationships and an interesting sector of the population. And I was very curious about, let's say, the different types of swingers, its impact on marriage, that sort of thing. And they actually emailed me, the husband emailed me, not with the premise of them coming on my show, but would I talk about the subject of swinging, and thought that perhaps I should interview several couples. And I suggested it be them because the husband is very articulate and had a lot to say and seemed like a very mainstream, educated, normal person. And I met with them this week with Dell, my producer, and we enjoyed our lunch. It was very interesting. And so I'm, like I said, hopeful that they are healthy and safe and on their way and will join us at some point in the break. 823-1920 if you guys have some thoughts on this. And I'll tell you what I know or what I learned from these two individuals, among other thoughts that I have legally speaking. I know that this was kind of a subject that was publicized when the Darren Mack trial occurred because many of the pleadings in the family court sector were calling Darren Mack a swinger. And in reality, I believe it was more that he was allegedly a cheating spouse, shall we say, because obviously, if his wife's not participating, then by definition, they aren't swingers. So he was apparently a cheater. The difference is swinging is something that is agreed to between the couples. And apparently there's different types of swingers. And I will go through those now, and then we'll take a call in a moment. The three types of swingers, as it was told by this lovely couple, are voyeur swingers, which are those that perform sexual acts in a voyeuristic way in for an audience, in other words, or they watch other couples that are married have sexual whatever. And so that's apparently how most people start. That's how these two got started. There are clubs in San Francisco, it turns out, that's all they do. And I personally had no idea. I feel naive. I've been to the Erotic Exotic Halloween Ball in San Francisco and other such events. I'm aware of Burning Man. I haven't been because I'm a dirtaphobe. I don't want playa dust in my pretty parts. And so you go to these clubs, and apparently you can do it in a room with a whole wall that's a half wall and people can watch, or they do it in a room with a bunch of other people doing it. And apparently this is legal. I had no idea that you could go into a club and have sex and it's legal. I thought this was like indecent exposure at a minimum, perhaps prostitution. But I guess if they just charge a entrance fee to the club, it's not that. So I don't know. So this is how it starts. And then the other two types are soft swingers, which mean they don't typically have intercourse with other couples, but they do other things, and or they do everything together and they require that the couples both be present for the activities. In other words, soft swingers have rules, and those rules vary among couples, but they have some limitation on their swinging lifestyle. They can't do it without each other's permission or knowledge or presence or something of that sort, and it's usually not intercourse. And then lastly, there's what they call the full swing couple, which this particular couple was, which means essentially in their marriage, there were no rules. They basically had a completely open marriage, typically did it together with other couples, full intercourse, anything, everything goes. So, very interesting. I got a lot of details from them, which I will share with you. But let's take a call from Sam on line one. Sam, what's your question or comment?
Well, you know, first of all, Marilyn, it's Sam Shad here.
Hello, Sam Shad.
You know, I was thinking, first of all, that a show about swingers would be something about Frank Sinatra. Cause
that's my kind of swinger, Sam. Now you're talking.
That's my kind of swinger, too. But, you know, really what
he's probably a real swinger.
as your guests are on the way here, that this might be an opportunity to bring in the relationship between you and Dell, your producer.
Well, Dell is back in the studio. She was just working some music. So Dell was at that lunch. So Dell will particularly be chiming in to share her thoughts and feelings on the swinger couple because she was there for first impressions as well. So
I actually have a lot of thoughts, too.
I'd love to hear them because, you know, I'm fortunate enough to get to spend time with you guys and go to lunches and things like that. And when you two start going off, it tends to be pretty hysterical. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, thank you. We'll be sharing it, but Dell's are not as nice as mine. But that's okay. That's why she's here, to bring the darkness out. She is a redhead. They get fiery and angry for no apparent reason at times, you know, Sam.
Okay, so I'll listen to this on the radio.
Thanks, Sam.
Bye, Sam.
Appreciate your call. If anybody else has comments or thoughts on the swingers couple, the swingers lifestyle, relationships, whether you want to get into swinging or not, whatever. 823-1920 is the call-in number, and I'm here to answer your questions. I'm not a swinger, in case people were wondering. I did, in fact, inform this couple via email before I met with them that I am married and not softly and not fully, as in the swing sense. They were inquiring about whether Dell was, in fact, a man, which she's not, and whether she was attractive, and I explained that she, too, is not softly married, so she's very attractive, for those that don't know, but she's not available for swinging, at least at this juncture. Because apparently these two, as Dell knows, they've been married 7 years, and I believe they've been swinging for about 3 years. If I recall correctly, they started out in the voyeur sense. They went to one of these clubs in San Francisco, and I believe it's called Eden, or that's the local one here. Undercrowd, maybe, was the one in San Francisco. They went to and they had a sexual intercourse in a public setting with the half wall for the first time. And wife explained that she was traumatized, essentially, that she was embarrassed, that she felt creeped out and weirded out. She didn't like having an audience watch her. But it was such an exciting experience in other ways that apparently she was willing to explore other options.
I was really surprised. It sounded like she kind of brought it up to her husband that was what she wanted to do, which it surprised me. I'm not going to lie. I can't imagine a woman being like, yeah, let's go ahead and start swapping.
Well, and he apparently had a very open first sexual experience years ago when he was 18. He was with an older woman, he explained, and that she was fine with him being with other people. And it was basically an open relationship. And so that was kind of his first taste into sexuality. And that is sort of set the ground rules for him being, I guess, having the appetite for it, interest in it. But he said when he married her, his intention was to be monogamous because he thought he'd sowed his wild oats, had it all behind him, that sort of thing, and was ready to be monogamous. That lasted, let's see, maybe 4 years, 3 years. And he said then, I think he suggested it. Dell has the impression, as do I, that perhaps he was making suggestions about other lifestyle options that he could explore and they might be willing to explore. But he was kind enough, it appeared, and they were both there together, that he wasn't going to push it on her and was willing to be monogamous, shall we say, in the event that she didn't feel comfortable, but was willing and hopeful to explore it with her.
I also got the impression that they mutually decided this, you know, whether there was one side that was pushing it a little harder than the other. I'll defer to them on that opinion. But I do think that they were ultimately in agreement on this.
I do. And I think that they kind of explored it together. It was kind of endearing in like a very unorthodox way, shall we say.
They seemed loving. Yeah.
They were very touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. They very much seemed to be in love. They both professed that they were very much in love, that this has brought them closer. That he actually said at one point during conversation, which, again, I thought was very endearing, that he thought it was cute when she had a crush on a boy or another guy, that she was giddy and likable and silly and sweet and flirty, and it was a very attractive state for her to be in, and was somehow able to impartially view her almost, again, like a voyeur without judgment passing or insecurity on the fact that she was having a crush on some other man, which is shocking to me, but yet I know we've all seen it. I certainly have seen in my husband finer moments when he's flirty and happy and silly. I won't probably say with another woman that I'm aware of, but you know, when they're in love with your children or...
Absolutely. Or they're just taking joy in something that they're doing. I think it's really nice to see that as well. But I think our insecurities would prevent us from being like, oh, it's great that he's flirting with that other woman. That's awesome.
I know. Although I can try to remember a time when I had a boyfriend like in college or post law school who I know had a crush on some girl at the gym because he would get all cologned out before he got his workout on
and ax it up.
So I would tease him all the time, like, oh, are you gonna go see your girlfriend at the gym? And he'd laugh and giggle like, what are you talking about? But it was clearly innocent because he didn't deny it, he wasn't embarrassed about it, and I actually thought it was funny. I don't know who the girl was, I didn't care, there wasn't any concern in our relationship, it wasn't this long relationship, but it was funny to me. So I kind of could relate at that moment to that flashback in my relationship era. I don't think that I want to watch him have sex with her, in case someone's curious about my own thoughts. Yeah. The flirting was pretty much, I think, where my limit cut off. 823-1920 is the call-in number if you guys want to share your thoughts. This experience that Dell and I had, it's pretty interesting because we also toured the Mustang Ranch whorehouse together for about a 5-hour tour and getting ready for the show with Susan Austin. And one of the things Dell said that was very funny to me when we left was she said that, like, were they the best salespeople ever when we left? Or is being a whore and selling yourself for sex a really awesome job?
It seemed really awesome. I didn't feel like I was being sold. It seemed like everyone was genuinely on board with the plan.
I know. And so this kind of felt the same way to me when we were at the lunch. I was like, oh, wow, swinging. That's an interesting, like, journey. Every marriage should go through it. And then, like, as time wears on, you know, an hour, 2 hours a day, you realize maybe selling yourself for sex isn't for me. And maybe swinging isn't for me either. And I think Dell had more of a negative reaction to the swinging lunch, she'll have to share. Well, whereas I was like, oh, interesting.
The good news is that we'll be able to share this with our guests. We just got word that they are actually on the way to the studio now. So we'll be able to discuss our feelings with them.
Because they're very interesting people. And I think you guys are really going to be interested in hearing from them. As much as I've given you my take on them, they really do have a lot of information to share that I think is fascinating, to be honest. And I had no idea how widespread this is, how mainstream, and how high end, to be honest, and middle class to educated high end people are into this. About 35 is the average demographic age, according to them. After the break, the guests will hopefully have arrived and you guys can talk to them instead of me. 823-1920, keep that number in your cell phones and dial us up and talk to the swingers. I'm going to give them some fake names because we don't want to make their lives miserable. We want to know their information without judgment. You're listening to the Marilyn York Show, and we'll be back right after the break. Thanks.
Join Bird Ramos for The Balance Report, the voice of reason, a program of civility, respect, and independent thinking. Bring balance to your world, Saturday at noon on Fox News 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Are you a professional single interested in dating but can't seem to find the time? Your professional life is planned out and organized, but your dating life is random, out of control, or completely non-existent? Hi, I'm Jennifer, owner of It's Just Lunch. Maybe it's time you give us a call. Because at It's Just Lunch, we're like your personal assistant. We'll conduct a confidential, in-depth interview to discover the type of person you're looking for in a partner. Then we'll personally select your date based on the information from your interview. There's nothing random about our selection. Once we select your match, we'll make a reservation for either lunch or drinks after work. All of this is done by a real person and not a computer. Your professional life is well planned and successful. Let It's Just Lunch plan your dating life because your success is our success. If you call today, you'll receive a free professional consultation. Call 852-1001. That's 852-1001. I'm Jennifer, and I'm looking forward to your call.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
Paul, honey, how are you feeling today?
Okay, a bit tired.
Well, it's normal after your surgery. Remember, the doctor said we need to be careful so you don't get a blood clot in your legs.
Right. Honey, will you please help me raise my leg up to help with the blood flow?
Of course, honey. And remember, if you have any swelling or pain in your leg, we'll call the doctor immediately.
For your free copy of A Guide to Prevent Blood Clots, call 1-800-358-9295. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Fox 1270.
To me, tie me up again. Who's got the claws in you, my friend? Into your heart, heartbeat again. Sweet like candy to my soul. Sweet.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and I don't have the swingers couple yet, but they should be here in just a moment. I like this. I think I'm going to have guests come late all the time because there's like a total like anticipation and you guys have to wait for it. Wait for it. I love it. 823-1920 if you want to talk to me until they get here or them when they arrive. I also can tell you guys are anxious on the Facebook page because there's some chatting little hurry up, get them here. Like I have some control over this. But Dell was concerned that perhaps they wanted to, you know, maybe include me in some swinging. And they saw me at the lunch and thought I was nasty.
I don't think that was the issue. I'm not sure that that's what I was actually thinking.
I think so.
What I was thinking was I've actually never, and this is what they pointed out, that there's a stigma against swingers, a very legitimate stigma. They don't want people to know who they are because people judge them. And I'm sitting there as they're saying this, judging them, thinking they're trying to have sex with us right here and now. That's
they
what they
want
doing.
To make the rapscallion their new
yes.
Eden club.
And I realized why they were saying they were getting a stigma, because even I was passing it on to them knowing I was doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think there's something about that, Del, because like when I meet lesbians, you like either feel uncomfortable, like they're definitely hitting on me, or why aren't they hitting on me? When in fact, I don't think that about every man that sits across from me, like, does he want some of this? Does he? So I don't know what it is, like your human insecurity or your human ego. One of the two is making you think that you're somehow in the running for some of their lovemaking. When in fact, I'm sure it had nothing to do with that. And it probably never crossed their mind, but it's more likely, let's be honest, to cross their mind than say my mother, or well, I hope, because she's my mom, but I mean seriously, than a normal heterosexual couple that is monogamous, because they aren't going to partake, and even if they think it, they usually aren't going to partake. Maybe usually is a strong word, I don't know, but anyway, so as I was saying, the demographic of these individuals is interesting to me. They said about 35 is the average age, somewhere in the 30s, upper to middle class people, educated typically. And so that's interesting to me because I don't know what I thought, but I've seen Swing Stock on HBO Real Sex, and I think that purports with what I saw. It was this big like Woodstock festival for swingers that they do, I think, every few years or so. And they brought like Rena hot tubs. It was kind of nasty. And Everyone had big, nasty stashes, mustaches. And I asked this husband about mustaches in the scene and the wife. And she concurred that, in fact, for some reason, there's a 70s vibe going to the look. Lots of corduroy, lots of mustaches, lots of bad mullets. And that's perhaps one of the reasons I think that they confirmed that they expanded their horizons to single people as well, and just sort of an open marriage, because I think husband was sort of indicating he felt guilty that the wives are far better looking in the swinger scene than the husbands, and his wife was getting like kind of left out, having to either partake in activities with husbands that she wasn't attracted to, which is totally not the point of swinging, because that's why you swing, right? Because you stop losing or being attracted to your spouse, or maybe you are still attracted to your spouse, but you want to pursue things outside the marriage to make it exciting, not punish yourself with a mustache. So I think that is perhaps why they expanded to single people. And so that kind of brought a younger demographic into the scene. And so often they'll be with men, I'll call them boys, who are in their 20s. And so the younger males are more attractive. But I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I'm 34. I have to think about that. And I think they're around the same age as me. And I don't know about the 20-something boys. You guys call in. I think you're infants. And I'm not sure I like you guys in your 20s. And so guess who's in the studio? I don't know what fake names we've chosen. So I'm going to change them every 10 to 12 minutes for my interest. Because it's like swinging for me. Because I don't actually get to be with different partners, I'm going to give these two a different name every few minutes and make it feel like I'm with different people. Good morning, guys. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning. Hello. Thanks.
I like that you guys came late, because I was telling everyone they had to have like, you know, anticipation. It was like foreplay. They had to listen to me, only I'm boring. And so we got to talk about you, and I gave them my impressions. So I don't know if you guys were listening in the vehicle, but it was fun. That's better than they have no idea what I said. Welcome to the show, 823-1920, if you guys want to talk to them. She's breathing heavily, probably from jogging, but it works with the show's topic. I love it. So I was explaining to them, the listeners, the demographic of the individuals that you guys indicate are typically in the swing scene. I also told them the three types of swingers, the voyeur, the soft, the full. And so why don't you guys enlighten us a little on what do you think this has done for your particular marriage? You've been married 7 years. You indicated to me, and I confirm, that you guys seemed very much in love, very touchy-feely, very open and honest. What do you think it did for your marriage? How has it bettered your marriage? Because that's probably a, you know, belief that most people would be surprised to hear.
Well, we had a good marriage before we started doing this, and
that's probably a prerequisite, would you say?
It's definitely it'll destroy your marriage if you don't have a good marriage go into it.
Which kind of seems ironic to me, because if you have a good marriage, people are like, why screw with it? And excuse me for using that word in light of our subject matter, but
yeah, well, and then you get closer. You talk about this stuff a lot before you do it, and you talk about it as you're doing it, and you really get to know each other in ways that you wouldn't have thought before, and it really strengthens it. And everybody we've talked to has said the same thing. They had a strong marriage when they got in, and then they were surprised at how much stronger their marriage got after they were in it for a while.
So is it like the vulnerability of you guys? I know like when you're with a particular partner, like each other, you're more vulnerable when you're in a sexual context and intimate and honest. Is that still true when it's with other people, or more true even?
Together, it's definitely intimate. Sometimes with the other couples, it's not always as intimate as you might expect. But for each other, yeah, you talk about things that you wouldn't have talked about before.
Absolutely. I always tell people that if you can talk to your husband about who you want to have sex with, you can talk to him about anything.
Yeah, I was thinking about you guys this morning going, what do you guys get divorced about when you can sleep with other people? Because infidelity must be one of the main reasons people get divorced in my office. So no wonder you're still married, because like cheating's acceptable. It's not even called cheating. It's called fun. So what the heck can you be mad at him for? He can't cheat on you. What could he possibly do to you? Tell me. So that was an interesting thought I had too, but is it hard? I mean, do you guys still have jealousies of any kind?
Well, yeah, I would say there are the potential for emotional jealousy, for like if she were to fall in love with somebody else, that could be a problem.
Do you guys have any boundaries set in that regard on an emotional level to protect your intimate emotional relationship?
Yes, definitely.
What are those sort of rules, or spoken or unspoken, that you guys have between each other?
To give an example, we'll see other people outside of the swinging, so we have an open marriage too. And one of the rules is that we can only see someone maybe once a month, or once every, at the most, couple of weeks. But if you were to start feeling too many feelings for somebody, then you definitely have to call it quits. That hasn't happened to us.
Oh, okay.
But that definitely is a rule, that we should be spending more time together and more time swinging than we are participating with one person away from the other.
So here's a question for you, Eve, and that's your name at this moment till I decide we're going to be with a different couple on this show. Do you have to like keep your lady parts shaved all the time because there's always an opportunity, shall we say, or possibility? I mean, in my case, I know if I'm going to get some action from my man or not, particularly when he's out of town. I'm like, forget it. I'm growing out my leg hair and no one can complain about it. But if I could, say, sleep with the UPS driver at any point in my day, I would have to shave more often. Is this a problem? Let me know.
Eve. Yes.
So, yes, she's very well shaven. See, this is another bonus for the marriage, though. I like this because then if opportunity should arise for husband, she's already ready. And maybe it works for him. Maybe it's the UPS guy. But in my case, my man might come home early to some furry legs, and that's never good for the marriage.
I think you might have just hit on why this actually helps make a marriage stronger, though. And I think that is, think about it. You know, you get into marriage, you're comfortable. Pretty soon you start wearing your retainer around and you look gross all the time. I mean,
it's leopard print. You know, I will not apologize for my retainer.
Wow. Okay. That says a lot about your marriage, but we'll get to that later. I just think that maybe it helps to stay on your toes, keep attractive all the time if there's always that prospect.
I do think that that's a good point. And maybe, you know, you're in good shape. You try to be pretty. You change up your sexual maneuvers. That's one of the indications, apparently, if someone's cheating, is you've got new moves in the sack. Mm-hmm. So I assume this is something you guys get to experience, be it somebody else showed you or you have a motivation and then you bring it home or you're in the same room together, as the case may be.
Yeah, definitely. The other day she said, where did you learn that? So yeah,
and you didn't have to lie.
And I didn't have to lie, yeah.
You were like, didn't you watch the other day? Oh, see, I like this. There are some bonuses here that I'd like to translate into the non-swinger world, perhaps. 823-1920 is the call-in number if you guys are afraid to call them. I think that you're worried they're going to recognize your voice. And they're going to say, oh, didn't I see you guys at poker? Poker is one of the places in town where you guys can have a house party for swingers. So to say, it's poker nights, right? That's what it's
right.
called.
Yes.
It's spelled P-O-K-H-E-R-K-N-I-G-H-T-S.
Yes.
So those of you who have a husband that plays poker night, you might want to ask him to spell it, okay? Because I'm thinking there may be more to the story than you know. And again, it's like a Darren Mack situation. If your husband's a swinger and you're not, then you're not swingers, okay? He's just cheating on you. Maybe he's cheating on you with a couple, but you're not swingers. He is. So you may want to find this out. So you guys, how did you get into this? Because I sort of told your story, but I bet they'd rather hear it from you than me and my shortened version of it. I gave him the background on you, and we'll call you Dirk for the time being. Dirk, I gave him your background about how you dated an older woman and had sort of an open relationship policy, and that sort of piqued your interest. I also told them how you and your wife had sexual intercourse at one of the clubs in San Francisco with the half wall, and she was not thrilled with that, but was okay with, you know, sexual intercourse in a public setting with other couples. So what made you guys make the transition from voyeur to full swing couple? Give me that version of the story because I didn't get there yet.
It was really Eve's decision. One of my coworkers was cheating on one of my coworkers' wives was cheating on him, and she decided that she wanted to kind of get that out of the way and not have to worry about that.
Right. I wanted one less reason to get divorced.
Yeah, that's one of the big ones.
Yes.
The independent wealth would help as well. Although I keep saying movie stars are rich, good looking, and you know, talented, and they get divorced constantly.
But
so
not
I don't
the
know
ones in an open marriage. You've got Will Smith and his wife,
Jada Pinkett.
Yeah, and they're an open marriage. There are a few of them out there. And
oh,
they
really?
Seem...
I didn't know that about mm-hmm. them. Do you guys get to be with them? Because I might
I wish.
Change my mind. I know. I was like, wait, okay. I was like, there's more perks than I knew. So wife's idea, huh?
After a lot of years of prodding from me, yeah, she
know,
made the
like,
final decision.
We sort of alluded to that earlier when Dell and I were chatting about you, saying that, you know, we had thought that maybe you were talking about it, but she was interested in exploring it. So did you guys just for the first time say, okay, well, let's try it and see how it works?
Yes, we were going to one of the resorts that's a lifestyle resort. We had that planned. We used to go there and just do same room. We didn't do any swapping at the time.
Oh, okay.
And
so that's the transition. Voyeur, then same room, then swapping, sort of, for you guys.
The normal transition would be either voyeur or a soft swap. And mm-hmm. then if you're starting with voyeur or exhibitionist, I should say, then you usually go to soft swap, then full swap. We went directly from exhibitionist to full swap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, at Eve's direction.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, you're a lucky man. That's what I say to her.
I am.
A lucky man. And don't get any ideas. Those of you that are listening, don't try to pull this on your wife for her birthday. you might want to make sure it's her idea, quote unquote, just like him. He could give you tips probably on how to make her idea. When we come back from the break, we're going to take a quick break. We will talk more to these two people about the lifestyle, where to go in Reno, how to get started if you're interested in it, and other ideas on the transition and what really safe sex is about in this sort of community. 823-1920 when we get back from the break.
There's no one like Michael Savage, and he's live weekdays at 3 on Fox News Radio 1270.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. Are you tired of being ignored and mistreated? Don't let your divorce lawyer treat you like your wife did. I thought divorce was about breaking free from the ball and chain. At our office, you get competence with personality and hopefully some laughs to take the edge off. Divorce is hard enough. Don't let your lawyer be part of the pain. Let's be honest. Legal representation is expensive, but often necessary. As the saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until they need one. You can get punished for free by calling your ex. Don't pay your attorney for punishment when you're finally getting rid of her. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net, not com.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
My name is Jamali Rashears, and this is how I live United. Education has been so important in my life, but lots of kids in my community don't have the same opportunities. I'm an advocate and fundraiser for my local United Way. I help promote academic achievement and give kids a reason to stay in school. We also put together events to raise funds and bring our message to the kids that need to hear it most. My name is Jamali Rashears. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Fox News Radio. 1270.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show. Thanks for holding on through the break. And we are here with our swingers couple. I'm going to call them Farrah and Brad, because Brad Pitt and I need to be together. And this is as close as I'm ever going to get. 823-1920. We have two callers on hold. Let's talk to Wilbur. Wilbur, seriously, is that your real name or are you using a fake swingers name for me? Because if it is, we might want to change it.
Wilbur will work.
All right. That's what I like to hear. Okay, what's going on, Wilbur? What's your question?
Well, not so much questions, just comments for right now.
Okay, share with us.
My wife and I are both new to the scene, and we're having fun.
Nice. How long have you guys been married?
We've been married for close to 19 years, together for close to 22.
Wow.
Wow, good for you, Wilbur. And how old are you guys?
Let's just say mid to late 40s.
That's nice. So are you guys local swingers, or do you go outside the local area as well?
Right now, local, just fairly new into the scene. We got started about probably October.
Oh, cool. So full swap or soft swap? What are you?
We'll do full if everything's right and everybody's comfortable.
So you mean super hot?
I want to stress when you're getting into this is you was commenting on talking to the wife or convincing her to do that. Before you ever get into it, you got to have good communications with your spouse. You can't force them into it. They've got to agree to it. You've got to set your boundaries on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, which I'm sure your host or your guest will get into that too. But
which is a really nice message for marriage swingers or not. I mean, I'm really impressed with the level of communication that you guys are both talking about. I wish I, you know, had it in all relationships or the people that came to see me on every topic. I mean, they don't even talk about their kids and who's picking them up from school, and they wonder why they're getting divorced.
Yeah, communication is everything. You'll hear it as a mantra in the lifestyle. Communication, communication, communication.
So you guys are new into it, and you're already full swapping, huh, Wilbur?
Yeah, we've had a few.
Good for you guys. Do you guys, are you anonymous about it in the sense of private like these two and want some people to not know?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Yeah, apparently their families have no idea, and that's fine because I don't think my family wants to think about me in that context either, and I don't want to think about them, so we're good. Do you guys have children, Wilbur?
Yes, we do.
Because these two don't, and I just like to know what the demographic is as far as parent or not parent and that sort of thing. I assume your kids are, you know, older, but probably not aware of what's going on.
Our daughter is married and very much aware.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What does she think about it?
She's fine with it.
Have her call me. Okay, Wilbur, I want to know what she really thinks. It's only been since October. Well, that's great, Wilbur. I'm glad it's working for you guys. And do you think it's brought you closer?
Oh, most definitely.
Well, that's awesome. Definitely. Thanks for calling into the show.
But you can't get into the situation to try to save the marriage. That will not work.
No, not at all.
Nope.
Well, that's unfortunate for those listening and thinking they're going to save the marriage. I think they're trying to save their sex life, Wilbur, that already failed when they got married. So
usually,
that's a good point. Absolutely. All right, let's talk to Jesse on line two. Jesse, what's your question or comment?
My question is more of a legal issue. Has the invention of no-fault divorce helped our society come out with more voyeurism, if you will?
Well, Jesse, it works in my office. I'm going to tell you that. I get to ask all the questions and people feel more inclined to be honest with me because it is no fault. A lot of people always say, like, you're my lawyer. How honest should I be? I'm like, more honest than you are with yourself because I'm not an idiot and I'll know if you're lying. So, but I mean, the answer is our courts are more open to ideas, I would say, than they probably were in the fault divorce system. There are many states that are still fault divorce systems, like New York, for example. And the faults there would be cheating or cruelty or mental illness. They're pretty small pool of faults. So in this case, it's interesting that you say that. Nevada is a pretty open state. I mean, prostitution's legal here. Come on. And our judges are typically middle class, upper middle class, very religious, conservative individuals. And yet their views are not conservative once they've been on the family court bench for about a year because they see everything. So it's interesting its impact on them. They no longer judge in something like swinging in a marital context if it should come up, say, in a custody battle. I don't think it would shock them, impress them, interest them. It would be not that big of a deal to them. Whereas a year prior when they weren't judges, it might shock them and confuse them, but I don't think it's encouraging people to do more, if that's your question, than they used to. I just think that in the court context, it's required or caused less judgment, but I don't think it's changing the world. I don't think anybody cares outside of court.
has it made our society more acceptable of that activity because of that, you think?
I doubt it, because honestly, it's such a small pool of those of us that practice family law and in the court system. Outside the courts, nobody knows what's going on at family court. Nobody cares. Nobody knows what's going on in marriages like we do, and no one cares. In our small world, maybe. Except I see everything, and I'm interested in everything, and I love having these individuals across from me, and I love asking them questions, but I'm not considering being a swinger. And I'm not considering selling myself for sex yet at the Mustang Ranch, but I loved going. I found it fascinating. So I think it's more that impact, where it's more anthropological. Like, people are, in fact, maybe a little more open in accepting other people's decisions, but I don't think that makes them more likely to do it themselves. I'm not going to become gay just because it's cutting edge in the middle school scene. You know, I mean, I don't know, though. That's just my thoughts on it, and I appreciate you calling, Jesse.
Sure.
Sally, on line 3, what's your question or comment, Sally?
Hi. I don't know if this was mentioned earlier in the show, but this is Tira Gaff, Marilyn. I was curious, what is it that intrigued you guys to become swingers? Like, what was it that actually made the first step, and how did you guys discuss it within your own relationship?
You mean besides sex with someone else?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big draw.
Yeah. Sex with someone else. Go ahead, you guys answer it. I'm interested too.
Well, to some extent, I've always been interested in it, in part because of my history with my ex-girlfriend when I was a lot younger. I'm not sure what made Farah here exactly want to pursue it as much as we ended up doing.
Well, basically, it all started because I wanted to eliminate cheating from our marriage because of his friend whose wife was, you know, he discovered his wife was cheating on him, and I didn't want that to happen to us.
So you invited it. Instead of eliminate, we're going to invite it in.
Well, and two, you know, when I thought about it before I decided to bring it up as an option, I had to look at myself honestly over the years. And the fact of the matter is I've always been very sexual. I've always enjoyed sex. I've had a high sex drive. I've always been flirty. I've always enjoyed male attention. So, and in previous relationships, I would get that attention and it would be tempting. I never did. I never cheated in a past relationship. I never did it, but it was not easy to do. And I thought, well, if I'm a person who enjoys that attention and would like to act on it if I could, then,
and your husband's okay with it, yep, and made that quite clear, mm-hmm, correct?
Right.
Then do it. He knows I love him. He knows that that's just lust. He knows I'm not going to
fall in love with somebody else.
I'm not looking to. I don't want to. I love him.
Good question, Sally, and good answer. 823-1920, if you guys have more questions for our lovely swingers couple. I have a question. How is bisexuality included in the lifestyle? We're going to take a break, and when we come back, they're going to tell me what bisexuality is in the lifestyle. And before I do, I'd like to remind you guys that one of our sponsors, Junkie Exchange Clothing Exchange at 960 South Virginia Street, is having their Customer Appreciation Day today, and it's very exciting. I'm going to be there right after the show, and it's an amazing store if you guys haven't been, and they're going to have customer food and music and all kinds of stuff to appreciate you guys. This is a sort of large 8,000 square foot junk store for those of you who don't know it, and you can go wear costumes. So I don't know if role plays in the swinger scene, but I'm bringing a bunch of my clothes that I don't fit my fat butt in anymore, but we'll pretend it's because I don't wear them. And so anyway, I hope to see you guys there, and we'll be back after the commercial to talk about bisexuality in the swinger scene. 823-1920.
Not just news, your chance to talk about it. Fox 1270 in the morning with Panama plus Don Gibbons. Weekdays at 6 on Fox News Radio 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night. and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Welcome, junkie shoppers. If you are addicted to methamphetamines, you are not allowed to shop here. Please, get your life together and revisit us clean and sober. Have a great day.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on and on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling disease. But each of them know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,000 and one. Learn more at Rotary.org.
Fox 1270.
To the Marilyn York Show, and as usual, Del did a spectacular job with our music.
Just trying to channel a little jealousy so we can bring up that topic.
Yeah, well, that's true. And let's talk about bisexuality first, then we'll do some jealousy. So what's the bisexuality vibe in the scene? Women to women first. Is that common? Expected even?
It's extremely common.
Okay.
I don't know if it's expected per se.
Is kind it valued, of. Shall we say, like yes. The middle school scene? Bisexual chicks, all the rage in middle school.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it just gives you more options for pleasure. So I'm aware of that as a matter of fact. What about you in particular? And we'll call you Sally now, just to give you some mainstream church name for irony. So Sally, what about you? Do you partake in women as part of this activity?
I do.
Is that something that you would say you're bisexual by nature? Are you attracted to women, or just something that you're willing to participate in for the sexual exploration purposes?
It's the sexual exploration purposes in my case. I don't, I'm not attracted to women. I don't seek out sex with women. I don't look at a couple who's contacted us and say, okay, she's really hot. I want to go meet them.
Okay.
I look at the man. I'm 100% into men. However, when you're in a setting where everybody's aroused
Sure.
And everybody's comfortable, then I'll do it if I'm comfortable.
Okay,
and if the woman is interested and she starts it, I rarely start it because it's not really what I'm after.
Okay.
But I'll do it and I'll enjoy it, but it's not a necessity for me.
Okay. And is this hot to you, John? I'm going to call you John just because of the euphemism qualities of that word.
Well,
so is this hot to you? I mean, are you like into watching your wife with women?
When we first started doing it, it was really hot. And
okay.
Now that we've been doing it a few years, I've seen my share of girl-on-girl stuff, and it's not...
Oh, God, poor John. Do you guys that are listening like, oh, he's all bored with girl-on-girl with his wife?
I wouldn't quite say bored,
okay, but it's lost its stigma.
It's not nearly as the holy grail that it used to be, the brass ring, so to speak.
So is that a risk in being a swinger? Is the same thing? You kind of get desensitized over time? Like you need more and more of wilder and wilder to get the same high, like drugs, for example, to use a bad analogy?
I would not say so. No,
okay.
I would say, and that's one of the few cases where you maybe get a little desensitized, but it's still exciting. It's still fun. You still want to see it, but it's just not quite as... Because for every guy out there, it's his ultimate fantasy, and it kind of loses its ultimate fantasy, but it's still fun.
So is it... Maybe more so that you guys really find out what you like as opposed to getting sick of something. A lot of people, like, you know, that don't explore a lot of these things think, ooh, that would be hot and it's a fantasy. And then you try it and you're like, nah, that was mediocre at best. But
yeah.
Then you actually figure out what you really like and you get to do what you really like. Instead of fantasizing, it becomes what I'm really good at, what I really enjoy, and I get to do what I really enjoy. Is that kind of one of the benefits of being swingers and exploring other alternative sexual varieties, shall we say?
Yeah, I would say we know more about ourselves sexually now than we ever would have imagined. We know what we don't like. We know a lot of the couples out there do things that we're not into.
Yeah.
And we definitely have a good solid grasp of what we're into. We're not nearly as kinky as we may have thought we were.
Yeah.
Well, and that's by your standards, because let me tell you, being a swinger is kinky enough. I don't care if you guys are missionary all the time. You're kinkier than me at my best position. So jealousy, as Del was saying, I know we touched on it just briefly. What about other couples that you guys are with? Do you ever get in like some sort of weird marital fight with these like soft swingers with the rules that you didn't know you were breaking?
We had one case where, well, I'll let Sally
like
here
you guys
tell.
Call it case. One case where she's making a face. Like,
yeah,
what
she's not sure what I'm talking about.
By the way, in case you guys are wondering, they're very attractive people, and there are people in the studio. Very good looking, both of them. I'm not saying I'm trying to hit on you guys. So those of you who are listening, we talked about that stigma before you guys got here, and Del and I were talking about it. About like, do they want to hit on us?
Well, we were talking about why you guys actually want anonymity, because there actually is a stigma. And I totally confessed on the air, and I'll say it again, that the whole time we were sitting there, I was going, are they trying to have sex with us? Is that what they're trying to do?
And
then I thought, gosh,
that.
We're such jerks.
I was not thinking that, but Del reminded me that perhaps I was not at my best in looks at the lunch, and maybe I offended you guys
I
with my hair.
I did say that.
You two are very attractive. We would definitely swing with either one of you.
Thank you.
We've been validated. Now, Marilyn.
Yes. Okay, so tell me your story about being with a soft swap couple and like how you violated their boundaries. I remember the story at lunch, and it was interesting to me about one of you violating the boundaries of the couple's rules, and you're not realizing, and maybe you still don't know what you did wrong, but there was some issue. I guess it was like in the hallway or something, there was some sexual act that happened and the other part of the couple wasn't present, and you guys didn't realize that that was apparently faux pas for their particular set of rules. What was that story, Sally or John?
There was a case where we were at a resort for swingers in Mexico where we...
We're in Mexico, so I can at least drive by and stop in.
It's not there. It was in Cabo, but it's gone now. It's not... They have one in Cancun. So they used to have two, now they only have one. So you have to go to Cancun now.
But okay, go ahead.
There was a couple we were with in the hot tub, and the woman was performing some acts on me, and I went to
reciprocate.
Yes, and apparently her reaction was not at all what I expected, and it was obvious I was doing something wrong. So we ended up telling them we'd go up to a bed. We were at the hot tub at the time. We'd go up to a bed that was ringing, a ring of beds around the hot tub. And we started talking to each other, saying we know something isn't quite right here. And we could tell that they were furiously talking before they went up there. And it became obvious that I had done something, hit some rule, and we were not sure exactly what it was. But yeah, it gets to be a little bit crazy when you hit these rules that you don't know about and they haven't communicated.
And you guys don't have these rules?
As a whole, no, other than safe sex.
And you'll find that's common in the...
Very common.
I want to say the industry, but it's not a charge industry. We're wrapping up to the end of the show, and I want to thank you guys for coming on. If you guys have questions, get on my Facebook and post them, and I'll communicate with these two. I'd like to have them back on because I think there's more interesting subject matter to explore.
Yeah, we'd love it.
Locally,
yeah.
Dilligan's, Poker Nights, and the 1099 Club, if you guys are interested. And these two individuals are thinking of starting a club locally, so look for it. I believe it's going to be called Eden.
Eden, yeah.
So if you want to get into the scene, I think that they are a very safe and interesting couple and seem to be very emotionally nurturing for those that are interested in getting in. We'll talk to you guys next week, and thanks for listening to the Marilyn York Show. We'll be on next week to talk to you guys again. All right, bye-bye.